Praise God. Welcome. Welcome to Beacon of Hope Ministries' weekly live radio broadcast entitled Living the Good Life. And it is a good life when we are serving the Lord and when we are learning what God would have us learn. We are excited today about today's program. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. One of our radio team, Carol, will be joining me in a little while on the air. But in the studio today, I am by myself, a little wild today. And our engineer, Bill, and I just shared a moment of prayer together in here because I'm the only one in here. That's kind of cool, isn't it, Bill? We sure did. So anyway, okay, that's cool. And that, and all the fans were clapping and yelling about that, right, Bill? And so are the angels in heaven excited about that, too. So anyway, we're just glad you've joined us. It's a gorgeous day in Clearwater, Florida. And I've said this before, but it's pretty cool. When I drive to the radio station from my home in Palm Harbor, which is just up the road a couple miles, it is cool. I drive by the water all the way down there. Alt 19, and it's beautiful. It's just a gorgeous day on the water today, and the boats are out, and the sun is shining, and it's just cool. And I'm excited about today's show. We had a powerful service at Beacon of Hope this morning, followed by our monthly meeting at the nursing home, Palm Garden Nursing Home, in Clearwater, where our dear Jeannie, who's a part of our church, lives. And we gathered there right after our morning service and had a great service at the nursing home. And I tell you, we've been taking our percussion instruments, and these people are learning to sing these songs, and we just have a great time together at the nursing home. So it was a great day, and I flew from there over here. So I didn't fly literally in a plane. I flew quickly is what I mean. So anyway, so glad you've joined us today. You have plenty of time to call a friend, invite them to listen to Living the Good Life today. Brother Ken, you are such a blessing. Your show right before ours, and we just hope you all tune in earlier and catch Brother Ken's show, Gospel Highlights, every week. And he's always so sweet to give us a little plug, and we want to do that for him too, because he has a powerful show, great music, and a wonderful time in the Lord on this radio station also. And so we, and you know, Brother Bill, you're right about this. It was Ken that said this. This is show number 212, which is pretty exciting. We're in our fifth year here on the station. And, that's cool. That's an accomplishment. And it's accomplishment for our people at Beacon of Hope that have given financially to make this happen on a weekly basis. And, so we're excited about all of that and what God is doing. And this is going to be a super show. We got some great music for you today. And, we are going to talk about one of those, schemes of the devil that he throws our way. And we're going to talk about it in kind of some different text, but the whole idea is unworthiness and how that defeats us in our Christian life, and how so often we feel that we aren't good enough or we don't know enough or whatever to be used of God. So we are going to attack that attack. We're going to attack it with scripture. We're going to attack it with some just some principles that God teaches us in his word that teaches us that God loves each of us. And we're going to amplify on that and see where that takes us today. And I think you're going to find some real peace coming your direction today on Living the Good Life. Did you start to say something, dear engineer? Oh, no. Okay, you're getting ready for the song. All right. And those of you that maybe are catching this show for the first time, you can find out more about Beacon of Hope on our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. I'll say that one more time. It ends in IES, the word ministries. Sometimes people spell it wrong, but it's www.beaconofhopeministries.com. So feel free to go to our website and find out more about this ministry. And as I said, we're in our fifth year on the radio, and it's exciting. We love to do the radio show. I love to do the radio show. I've got a great radio team of about eight people who take turns, and it's just fun.
Me and Brother Ken were watching Carol Witcher on ABC.
Oh, were you? Okay, yes.
So if you wanted to use that in your show today, we got the segment that we can play.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. All right. Yes. She'll be on in a little while, so that's a good idea. You've got the sound for it, you mean? That's cool. We'll do that. All right. So anyway, that was really neat. She was on ABC News, Diane Sawyer, ABC News on Monday night, and she will be on this show in just a few minutes, and she's one of our regular radio team members. So that's pretty exciting what happened there. So anyway, get your Bibles, go to the book of John, and we're going to get there in just a moment. If you're in the Tampa Bay area and you do not have a good home church or a place that you call home, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope. We are located in Clearwater, and it's pretty easy to find. If you're coming from the Tampa area, you get right off if you're on 275 going south, you're going to get off at the Almerton exit and just come down just a very short ways. And we are at 3700 Almerton in the new strip mall that has Five Guys, Poncheros, and a bunch of really great restaurants. So we are there in that strip mall and on the end, and you can find us. It's not that hard. 3700 Almerton. Sunday morning services are at 11. And Wednesday night is a great Bible study night, which we'll tell you more about that later. But that service starts at 7, and prayer meeting on Wednesdays is at 6:15. So if you are looking for a good home church, come and join us. We'd love to see you and get to know you and welcome you into the family at Beacon of Hope. So one of my very good friends is Melanie Wilkinson. We're going to have her on the show soon again. She and her band, Canaan Band, are in the area and are ministering a lot. And we've had them on the show different times. We'll probably have them again in a few weeks or whatever works out. She has a new song that they have written. It's called Help Me Find Peace.
I could love you, but I cannot love myself. Where is the peace inside? Instead, the turmoil clouds my mind. Help me find peace. I've never been the lucky one till you came along. Lost all my given deeds when I gave in to my selfish needs. Help me find peace. Show me your love again.
that good touch reached out,
touch me again.
Help me find peace, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. How can I hear you when my ears are filled with earthly things? How can I see you when all I can see are just my needs? Show me your
praise God. Great song. Cut it off right there, but that's all right. Help Me Find Peace by the Canaan Band, James and David and Melanie, and they are fantastic and all their instrumentalists. And, you know, that song, Connie did not know exactly what I was teaching on, but I tell you, she puts the music together for the show, Bill. And that is a perfect intro to where we're starting today. Help Me Find Peace. Because we're going to pick up here with what happened as soon as Jesus was resurrected from the dead. If you have your Bible, we are in John chapter 20, and we see that Jesus appeared to the disciples. And we're going to start with John 20 in verse 19. So this song is a perfect lead-in right here. The same day that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, which was sometime after sunset on Saturday night, because the day began at 6 p.m. in the evening. So the Jewish day began Saturday night at 6. Sometime after that time, Jesus came out of the tomb, a resurrected Lord. And this is the Sunday right after Resurrection Day, or what a lot of people call Easter, and that was last Sunday. So anyway, here, let's pick up right there. And the same day, so this would have been Sunday evening that this occurred. I'm in John 20, verse 18. The disciples had gathered together, but they were afraid of some of the Jews, and they had locked all the doors in the house. And you can imagine, I mean, a lot had gone on. Jesus had just been crucified. There was all these questions about what was going on with now he's no longer in the tomb. There's an empty tomb. And there was a lot of upheaval in Jerusalem. I mean, people were wondering what was going on. Well, here they are in a little gathering, let's say a little prayer meeting, you know, and they were gathered together. And it says here in verse 19 of John chapter 20, Jesus entered and stood among them, and then he talked to them. Now, it also says that he did not enter by the door. The door was locked, okay? He came right through the wall. He had his new resurrection body. And even though he looked like himself, he had this ability to go right through the wall. Did you know that Jesus has the ability to go right through the walls that we erect around ourselves? Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes circumstances, pain, suffering, perhaps you've been the victim of abuse of one kind or another. In trying to protect ourselves, we tend to build walls so that we don't get hurt again, or so that we can be in a little safe place. Now, these disciples had locked the door. It was Sunday evening. Jesus had come out of the tomb just a few hours before that, maybe Saturday evening, but at some point. And Jesus walks in, and I love this in this translation. It says, "Peace to you." What's the first thing Jesus said to them? "Peace to you." And I love that we just played that song, Help Me Find Peace. One of the lines on that song, I wrote it down when it was playing, is, "How can I hear you when my ears are filled with earthly things?" Wow, that's a powerful line right there. How can you hear God when your ears and your mind is filled with all the distractions around us, all of the negativity that comes to us from people, from circumstances, from things that we are hassling? How do we find peace? We're going to talk about that today. "Peace to you," is what Jesus said. Then he showed them his hands and his side. What was he doing that for? He was showing them the proof that the nail scars were there in his hands, that the piercing from the sword, that scar was there, and that he was who he says he was. It's kind of his credentials, I guess. His ID, you know, here's my nail prints. I am Jesus. That's kind of what was going on. The disciples, I'm in about verse 20, 21. The disciples seeing the master with their own eyes were exuberant. Seeing the master with their own eyes. Do you know that's what God is wanting you to do and what each of us to do? He wants us to see Jesus with our own eyes. We sang a song this morning at Beacon of Hope. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I just want to see you. I want to see you. That should be the cry of our hearts, that we would say, God, open our eyes so that we can really see you. And the disciples were thrilled because they got to see Jesus, the resurrected Lord. And there he was, right there in the room with him. And he had come through that room, the walls, even though the doors were locked. They were exuberant. I don't know about you, but I think I would be at least exuberant, or maybe something wilder than that. Maybe hooping and hollering and I don't know, you know. Jesus repeated his greeting here. So he says it the second time. He says, peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you. I love that verse right there. Just as the Father sent me. You see, because God the Father had sent Jesus to this earth to show us what the Heavenly Father is all about. God the Father had sent Jesus here to reveal God's nature to mankind. And so now Jesus says, I give you peace. Now, I want to remind you that the Father God sent me here to this earth. Now, I send you out to do a work. I send you out. Dear listeners, today, God is not wanting you to get saved and just sit in your little chair and never do anything with your knowledge about God. God is not wanting you to be content to never talk about God, to never read your Bible, to never pray. God wants you to get involved with your salvation. Because it's not enough just to say, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, that's the beginning place. But God says here through Jesus to us, peace to you, just as the Father sent me, I send you. And then in verse 22 of John 20, he took a deep breath and he breathed into them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus was getting ready to go back up to heaven, and we'll talk more about that probably next week. He was going to be here for just a few days to get some work done that needed to be done. And then he was going to heaven where he is now, seated at the right hand of the Father. And he goes on and says something very important that absolutely will change your life if you really get this concept. He says, if you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them if you harbor them? I'm reading from the Message Bible, and I love that. What are you going to do with them? Okay? So Jesus is making a huge teaching point right here that he taught many times through the Gospels when he walked this earth. And that was forgiveness is what you got to do. Do you know how you get healed from the abuse? If you have received abuse in your life, you know how you get healed? You learn to forgive. And forgiveness does not mean that you agree with what was done to you. Forgiveness says, I don't hold it against them anymore. I let it go. They don't owe me. They can't make it right. Forgiveness is canceling the debt that they owe you. Now, that's what Jesus did on the cross. He canceled the debt for our sin. He took that. He took it on himself on the cross. And he says, all right, I'm going to take all that. I'm going to take all that sin. You don't have to walk around in it anymore. And you don't have to walk around unforgiven. You can walk around forgiven. And that's what it's all about. So we see that now we've had that was the first time Jesus appeared to the disciples. In verse 26 of John 20, 8 days later, the disciples were again in that same room, probably the upper room. And This time, Thomas was with them. Because if you remember, Thomas was kind of known as the doubting Thomas, the doubting disciple, because he said to the disciples, you tell me that you've seen the resurrected Lord? Well, I'm not going to believe that until I can see it. Thomas even, and some of you are like, I'm agreeing with that guy. Some people are to the point in their lives where they go, well, if I don't see it, it doesn't happen. It didn't happen. You know, I got to see it to believe it. And Thomas was one of those. And we laughingly call him down through the ages, Doubting Thomas. But you know what is so cool about old Thomas? Jesus accepted Thomas right where he was. Now, that's a huge point for today's show. And we are really going to amplify on that. Because Jesus didn't say, what do you mean, Thomas? You got to see it. You know what Jesus did? He gave Thomas what he needed. He appeared again 8 days later, it says, in verse 26. It says 8 days later, and I'm in the Message Bible, his disciples were again in the room, okay? Probably the upper room. This time, Thomas was with them. Jesus came through the locked doors. Again, there he is. Whoa, there's Jesus. I mean, they probably gathered to have a little meeting. What do we do now? Have anybody seen Jesus this week? What's going on? You know, who knows what they were doing? Or maybe they were just came together for a prayer meeting. But Jesus came through the locked doors and stood among them. And he said, what did he say? He did not say, all right, y'all, I'm really mad at y'all because you're not making a lot of progress here in your faith. Here's the thing that Jesus said again. Peace to you. Peace. When Carol comes on, we're going to talk about that peace because we all need that. And that is what Jesus said to the disciples. Peace to you. You know what the devil does, guys? The devil always uses chaos, confusion, put downs in your life, shame, guilt. Today we are going to attack those things because Jesus said, I came to give you peace. And that's what he says right here. Peace to you. Then he focused his attention on Thomas. I love this in verse 27 of John 20. He said to Thomas, you know, he could have focused his attention on any of the other guys and said, hey, I'm really glad you believe me without seeing my scars and my hands. But instead, in verse 27, he focuses his attention on Thomas and he says, take your finger and examine my hands. Can you just picture Jesus holding his hands out, palms up, and Thomas is standing there, and he says, take your finger there, Thomas, and look and run it across my hand. See those scars in my hand? And then look at this one over here. See this? And I believe that is what happened, because it says, take your hand and stick it in my side. He told him to take his finger and examine his hands. Then he said, take your hand and stick it into my side. Whoa! And there is that scar. There is that place where the spear went into his side. Okay? He says, don't be unbelieving, but believe. And that is what he says to us today. Don't be unbelieving. Simply believe. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, all things are possible if you believe? Yeah, he did say that. All things are possible if you believe. Now, Thomas's reaction in verse 28, Thomas says, my master, my God. Thomas understood that this was the Lord. Jesus said, so you believe because you've seen with your own eyes? Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing. Here's Jesus is saying, you guys got an opportunity to actually see my physical hands and see the scars. You've actually put your hand in my side. But think about all those from now until Jesus comes that aren't physically going to be able to see the scars in Jesus' hands. No, we haven't seen those scars. But we were told here in the Word that it happened. And that's good enough for me. And Jesus says, wow. It's so wonderful, all those that are believing without seeing. And let's look at verse 30 and 31 before we get Carol in here. And then in a little while, we're going to talk about Peter. We started out talking about Thomas, and then we're going to talk about Peter. In verse 30 and 31 of John 20, Jesus provided far more God-revealing signs than are written down in this book. These are written down so you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And in the act of believing, you will have real and eternal life in the way he personally revealed it. What is that saying? That is saying there is so much more that Jesus did that didn't get recorded. But what has been recorded is recorded for you. It says, so you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And when you believe, then you will realize you have real and eternal life. Praise God. That's what it's all about. I find it very interesting that Thomas was not originally a great man of faith, yet Jesus picked him as one of the disciples. In a few minutes, when we talk about Peter, you're going to see something interesting about Peter. And very, very interestingly, God takes us right where we are and works with us to cause us to become all he wants us to be. Philippians 1:6 says that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Praise God. Carol, are you on the line?
I am on the air with you.
Woo, Carol. I mean, even what you and I discussed as I drove, didn't even start out that way at all, did it?
No, it did not start out that way. We had, the only thing that, for the listening audience, the only thing Pastor Marcia tells me is scripture.
Right.
As you may say, I have this thought in mind, and it was to be the Holy Spirit. And
right.
You and I know we let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us into
exactly.
whatever comes out of our mouths on this radio show.
Right.
So I said, well, okay. But I never felt the conviction in my heart that that's where it was going to stay. I kind of thought, well, let's just see if it really does stay that way, or
uh-huh.
once again he changes things. And, of course, we know he changed it.
Isn't it cool, though, Carol? Because what that says is we are, and not this is not to pat ourselves on the back, but it's just to explain the things of the Spirit of God, that God wants to get so involved in our lives that when he changes the direction of something, be it a sermon, a radio show, or maybe you're driving down the road and you have every intention to go to so-and-so's house, and God says, no, turn here, I got something here I want you to do. It's a matter of listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit within us, isn't it, Carol?
It definitely is. And there have been so many circumstances that you and I have discussed over the years of where we would be intentionally heading to a particular place, a hospital
right.
or a nursing home or someone's bedside to take care of a specific issue. And then we would be directed in another way and end up sitting in the front of a hospital or maybe someone's home, and we're going, why are we here? And then the Holy Spirit tells us why he brought us to that location or to those people or to the circumstances that we've been placed in. But I know it's because you're a willing heart, and
yeah.
I'm a willing heart.
Amen. And that's what we are cultivating at Beacon of Hope, whether you're here physically in the Clearwater Church or if you're a part of Beacon of Hope and you're other parts of the world or nation. The whole goal is to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's such a clear way that if he says, okay, I think you need to drop this, not do this right now, go do this, that there is a reason that he sees. And sometimes he protects us from an accident by listening to his voice, or sometimes that person is right there ready to hear what you have to say to them right then, and that you're there, you're sent for a reason.
Well, it's very strange that sometimes when I was much younger, I would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, not totally realizing that it was the voice of
right.
the Holy Spirit, but
sure.
I would get what I felt was a premonition to do something, and while I was going to do what I thought, and then this voice of the Holy Spirit would intercede and tell me to do something different,
right.
in my humanness at the time, I would do what was already set forth in my mind that I felt I should do.
Ah, isn't it interesting?
Invariably, it ended up being chaotic.
And you know what? That is the answer right there, because peace Jesus said, peace to you. Okay. Peace is the opposite of chaos. What the devil has for us in our lives is chaos. And so often we can become, or we are born that way, so rigid. You know, that we've got a plan, we've got a schedule, this is what we're doing, I'm doing it this way, I'm going to be here, there. Carol, I mean, because I'm a busy realtor and a full-time pastor, there are mornings, you know, most mornings, when I have a schedule in front of me and I put it there on the seat beside me in the car and I'm going here and I got to meet these people then and I got to show this house then and I got to go put a sign on over here and I got to go do this and sign a contract and I've got it all, you know, mapped out. But
that's
so
right.
Often... God changes it and puts me at the right place in the right time. And it's funny, honestly, because he says, yeah, well, that was your plan. Now let's go with mine.
Yeah, it's kind of like you get this little thought in your head and it, you can hear Jesus kind of laughing and saying, mm-hmm. Oh, the places you're going to go.
Right, exactly.
The things you're going to see and the things that you're going to hear and the way you're going to be my witness to other people.
Amen. That's what it is.
It becomes almost comical because every time I went against what the Holy Spirit was saying, it turned out to be that the devil was sitting there laughing at me because I ended up in a chaotic situation or ended up in a situation that was oftentimes scary, to be quite honest. You turn down a road that you think you know the shortcut to someplace, and you turn down the road, and the next thing you know, the road is closed off, and you don't know where to go.
Absolutely.
No, but when I turn down a road now, if I feel the Holy Spirit says take a left, I don't worry about it because I know if I'm doing what the Holy Spirit says to do, He will magically appear to me in my thoughts. And I don't mean magic from the standpoint of a magician, but He will appear to me in my thoughts and say, it's under control. I've
right.
got it. It's cool. Just be calm and let me guide you. Well, it's an amazing journey when we do that.
It is an amazing journey. And Carol, I'm disciplining myself. One of the things I'm working on right now is to discipline myself that when I awaken in the morning, whatever time that may be, and usually now it's before my little dog Bailey wakes us up, my other dog and I, but when I awaken, I'm trying to remember to discipline myself to say, okay, God, what are we doing today? I submit to your lordship of my day today. I want you to help figure it all out. You know where you need to put me. You know who I need to talk to today. I submit to you. You plan it out. I'll just go and do what you tell me to do. I am really working on disciplining myself to do that, Carol.
One of the nicest things about being retired from the standpoint of not having a job that you've got to meet a time clock.
Right.
Someone else's schedule
right.
is to be able to, like you say, get up in the morning and stretch and yawn and put that first cup of coffee or pop that first Coca-Cola or a Pepsi can.
There you go.
And you say, okay, Lord, today is your day.
That's right.
Where do you want me and what do you want me to
Amen.
Do?
Amen.
I know that I do that. And my home, that's what we do.
Right.
And we get up in the morning and say, what do you have planned? You know, we interact with each other as human beings. What do you have planned? Do you have? And we both look and say, well, nothing. We're waiting on God, or our day may be planned, but we both will laugh and say, we know it's going to change at the drop
right.
of a hat. Because our day doesn't coincide with His day.
Well,
we,
it's so
as
true.
Human beings, all of us want to do things that are kind of selfish. We want to go visit grandchildren. We might want to go play bridge with the girls at lunch.
And none of that
we
stuff's
might
wrong.
We might want to go to right. someone's workplace and take lunch to them. We might want to do anything, fish or go shopping, whatever humans want to do. But if you are of Christ, in Christ, and with Christ, you open yourself up and you say, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, show me where I am to go today.
Exactly.
I'm a receptive vessel.
Well, I find this interesting, Carol, about Thomas here, which, you, as you know, I wasn't planning on talking about Thomas, so somebody out there needs to hear this from John chapter 20. The first time that Jesus appeared to the disciples, which begins in verse 19 of John 20, in that first encounter, when Jesus walks through the walls and he says, peace to you, just as the Father sent I send you, we find that in verse 24, Thomas was not with them when Jesus came for that first meeting. We don't know why he wasn't there. We just know he wasn't there. Maybe something detained him, or maybe who knows what it was. You know,
well,
we can
perhaps at this point, let's stop at this point and think about that. There would not have been an occasion for people to, for those who were unbelievers or non-believers, to be able to see that it's okay at that time, like Thomas was. He was a non-believer. He did not see it. But look at what was shown to him. If Thomas or Didymus had not been absent from the initial meeting there with the others,
right,
there would not have been a hope for someone who did not completely believe in the act of Jesus Christ.
Well, exactly, because in verse 25, we see that they went and they told Thomas, hey, you know, we saw the Master. And he said, unless I see the nail holes in his hands and put my finger in the nail holes and stick my hand in his side, I won't believe it. Now, I think that is fascinating. And one of the reasons I think this is so fascinating is that God really does accept us right where we are. And he sets about to prove to us that he is all that he has promised to be. And so he shows back up 8 days later, and Thomas is there that time.
That's right.
And look at that. I mean, God, Jesus cared enough, Carol, for Thomas to make another appearance and make sure that Thomas had what he needed to believe. Isn't that fascinating?
At any other time, in any other world, with anybody that were not God, Thomas would have just been forgotten.
Right.
It would have thrown him off. Oh, what does he know?
Uh-huh.
And we do that now with people.
Right.
When someone as a disciple of Christ comes in to speak to us or to share with us the joyous news of Jesus' reclamation and deliverance from death, what do people that don't believe say? Oh, get out of here. And other folks say they're not worth bothering with. They
mm-hmm.
don't know.
Yeah.
And then we hear it from the pulpit.
Right.
So-and-so is not good enough. So-and-so is not acceptable.
Exactly.
This group of people are not acceptable. God says, I accept everybody.
Exactly.
No one is to be pushed away from me because of who they are. He knows who we are.
Oh, Carol, I totally agree.
Even before our parents conceived us.
Psalm 139 says that, and I read this a little bit of it here on the show a couple weeks ago, that God knew us when he formed us in our mother's womb. He knew exactly what we were going to be like.
Yep.
And he knew what we would be doing and the attitudes we would have. He knew all of that. And he knew that we would have certain issues that we needed to overcome. That's just part of walking this life to become all he wants us to be. And he understood that about Thomas. He knew Thomas was doubting. In fact, they called him, that was his nickname, Doubting
yes.
Thomas, you know?
And we still carry that over today.
We do, don't we? That's
still a colloquialism that people
yeah.
use all the time.
Oh, are you? Don't be a doubting Thomas now. I mean,
right.
yeah, that's no. carried through
if
2,000 years.
If someone shows you something or says, hey, we can go to this lake and catch the biggest fish, and the person is going, oh, there's no fish in there. You can't catch anything above a pound.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's a simplified thing. And it's the same thing. If we as Christians believe
right.
that the lake is not full of people who want to be caught and brought into God's kingdom.
Amen,
we
Carol.
We need to change our thought. We need to know
preach.
That those doubting Thomases living out there among us can be brought in just like
Amen.
Thomas was.
Amen. And you know what? That is a mindset of negativity and a mindset of doubting like Thomas had before Jesus appeared to him again. That will drag you down and not build you up in God. It'll cause you a lot of feelings of unworthiness, which I want to really attack that today. Guilt, shame, unworthiness are tricks of the devil. Hear me, audience. The devil does not play fair. He leads you down a path and causes you to get into all kinds of, let's say, addiction of some kind, or causes you to get into all kinds of negativity in some area in your life. Or
causes you to be hateful to other people.
And there you go.
You know, or
yeah.
to be hateful to animals and to the earth.
Right.
You know, we're put on this earth to protect it and guard it and keep it safe and every inhabitant here.
Well, you're exactly right, Carol.
When we don't do those things, we castigate people away.
Yeah.
Without even giving any concern or care to their immortal soul.
But so often, Carol, the devil leads us down these paths and causes us to fall into some trap. You know, we've been talking about traps.
The lights are so bright, don't they?
Yeah, really. We've been talking.
When it's away from God, the lights are so bright. And they're so, think about it. Listen
I know.
To some of the music and the songs and the chaos
right.
that the devil brings.
Right. And that's.
And yet when you, how many times have I been around people and you've been around people who were away from God, maybe not have ever known him or Jesus or the Holy Spirit? And then when they come to that place where they are seeking peace,
right.
which equals God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit,
right.
they come to find that, and their soul is quiet.
Right.
Look at how transformed they are.
Oh, absolutely. Look at Peter. Not Peter. We're not on him yet. Look at Thomas, because when Jesus met him, right where he was in his situation, because Thomas actually said, put the conditions down there. Thomas said, okay, I'm not going to believe unless I am able. This is verse about 25. Thomas said, unless I see the nail holes in his hands, put my finger in the nail holes and stick my hand in his side, I won't believe it. Boy, Thomas really laid out the gauntlet or something, didn't he, Carol, right there to say, hey, it's going to have to be this way.
Prove it to me.
Prove it.
This man is who you say he is.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to see it. I want to know he was crucified. I wasn't there. Show me what happened. Let me see the scars.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
You know, the emotional scars that are given to people through acts of unkindness.
Exactly.
You know, those scars are hard to heal and hard to change. As you were speaking in your opening about finding a way of letting go and forgiving, those
right.
are very difficult scars for people to let go.
Absolutely.
Yet if they are going to have peace, and I'll say it again, if they're going to have peace, they simply must let go of everything that has caused them angst, fear, consternation, and unable to accept love from anything or anybody. They got to let go of it. The old adage, let go and let God, truly does exist if you are to leave chaos and all of the unkind things that have ever happened to you. You've got to get rid of it.
I so agree with you. And I, while you were saying that, it reminded me of Psalm 30, verse 5. Psalm 30, verse 5, and it says this. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Yeah. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. And in the New American Standard, it says, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. So we go through these night times in our lives, and we begin to realize we don't have to stay in the doubt, the unbelief, the unforgiveness, the guilt, the shame. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to. We have the ability through the name of Jesus and the power of the word of God to come out of that and to, for a night to turn to morning, you know?
Anger begets anger.
Yeah.
If you're angry with somebody, with what you think, as you as any person, using that collective you, if you think you have good reason, if you go to the person, if you can, and try to talk to them and say, can we work this out?
Right.
What is your vision of it? What is my side of it? Let's see if we can come together. And then that person does not choose to do that. Then you have to say to them, and I know this to be a fact. You have to say to them, I don't understand why you're thinking the way you do, but I forgive you for your part in hurting me, and I forgive myself for my part in hurting you.
Right.
And I'm going to leave you with this thought, that may the peace of Jesus Christ abide with you forever.
Amen.
If that thought is put in their head, it will be more pronounced in their forgetting than any retribution you could have done to them.
Which is a perfect segue, and you didn't even know it, into this song, Before the Morning, by Josh Wilson.
feel the things that hurt you. If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Or maybe there are things you can't see, and all those things are happening to bring a better ending. Someday, somehow, you'll see, you'll see. Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning. Just don't know how you get there. So say a prayer and hold on, 'cause there's good for those who love God. But life is not a snapshot, it might take a little time, but you'll see the bigger picture. Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning. Yeah, yeah. Before the morning. Yeah, yeah. Once you the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming.
Praise God. That goes right along with Psalm 30, verse 5. Carol, would you dare to believe that the pain you're feeling can't compare to the joy that's coming in the morning? Woo!
That's wild. Quite profound, isn't it?
It is. I mean, this is what God is doing, because look how he restored Thomas. And in the next hour, we're going to talk about Peter and how Jesus restored Peter. And Jesus is all about restoration. You know, all about restoring people to where they need to be in him, and not allowing the devil to drag us down to that place of defeat and inactivity. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And, you know, I think one of the things it starts with is with each individual, regardless of where they are in their life. They can be young, they can be middle ages, or they can be, as we say, getting closer to the ground than they really want to realize. I think it's very important for us to, at some point in our lives, recognize and understand our need to have a closer relationship with God.
Amen.
You know, as we begin to get a little older, or situations come into our life that are disgusting or hateful or painful, our love walks out the door and fear and everything else enters in, and agony. We can't live that way. We're not constructed humanly to live like that.
You're right.
We don't do well in chaos. It begins to affect
us, right.
Our muscles,
Woo.
Our brain, our thinking. All of that changes.
You're right.
When we seek the peace of Christ, oh my goodness, everything around you, the colors are brighter, the sounds are different.
Amen.
Body is not in turmoil.
Amen, girl.
You know, when I was going through the difficulties involved with having cancer, you were in an environment when the medical jargon is being thrown at you from every direction, and
right.
people wanting you for this test and that test, and pulling you literally into a six dozen pieces.
Right.
If you just I had to stop them, and I said, listen, please stop. Please just leave me alone for a few minutes and let me speak to my God.
Right.
I've got to know that he will bring peace to this situation.
I remember when you did that, when you were going into one of those big tubes that you were having a hard time
with the MRI machine.
That's what it was, yeah. And how difficult that was for you. But I remember you telling me you stopped the test and you said, wait a minute, I got to talk to my Father here, my Heavenly Father, about this. And calm down. And you did.
I was really into doing it. I had said, I can do this. And they had the nursing staff and the techs were already set in the room.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, somebody comes in and pulls out this woman and says, oh, no. We're replacing Mary, and that was her name. We're replacing Mary with Jeanette.
Yeah.
I didn't feel good. I had the strangest feeling overcome me, and I couldn't see anything. I was upside down on my stomach.
Yeah.
I could not see these people. All I could see was their feet. But the presence of a person who was there, not of God, overtook the room.
Right.
It overpowered me.
Yeah.
And I felt God said to me, this is not the time. We've got to get that woman out of the room. And I tried. I tried so hard to say, Carol, it's just you. You haven't seen her face. You don't know what she's like.
Yeah.
And she became very hateful and demanding and pulling on me and stuff. And I knew she was not of God.
Right.
And that's when I called them out. I said, there's a bulb you push.
Yeah.
A little bulb, ear bulb type thing. And I mean, I wasn't pushing that thing. I was smashing that thing in my hand. And they pulled me right back out. And there were about six doctors in the room with me.
Yeah.
And my doctor said, what is wrong? And I said, I cannot stay in this room. I must get out of here. I must get out of this room.
Right.
And she let me, she said, if she wants out, you get her out and get
right.
her out right now. And she came to me and she said, what has happened? And I said, there's someone in this room that is not of God.
Yeah.
I said, she said, who is it? Who do you feel angst? I said, the last person that walked in this room. She wasn't here when I climbed on the machine. She's here now. I can't be in there with her.
Yeah.
I must go out and speak to my God and talk to him about this. And they took us into a private room off away from everybody. And they said, we will give you 15 to 20 minutes if you need more. So Maxine was with me when we went in this room, and I just started praying, and Maxine was praying. And when I went back, that woman was removed.
Right.
And it was different. Then I got in, did the whole thing. No
Everything
problem.
Was fine. Because you sensed, your spirit sensed the chaos and all
in
of that,
woman.
And you needed the peace in that situation.
Yes.
And
when you're in situations like that, as many of our listeners have been,
right.
when you are ill or there's an accident or someone you love is involved in something that's fearfully happening to them,
right.
and you're trying to get peace in a chaotic order, if you will, as a Christian, a follower of God, you will soon recognize who is not.
Right. Yeah, your spirit senses that. And I find it very interesting that when Jesus walked through the walls on both of these first two times that he talked with the disciples after his resurrection, the first thing he says is peace to you. So,
right.
you know, they were in turmoil. They were confused. They were probably questioning what's going on. Where do we go from here? You know, all of this. And
look at the very thought of a human being walking through
right.
a wall. Don't you know, for
yeah.
some of them, you know, they're sitting there, they're lamenting their cause, they're discussing it, they're having this group conference, and all of a sudden, the walls don't even shake or tremble.
There's Jesus.
And there he is.
But, Carol, that's how he does. He just comes and invades our space. I don't know when I first ever said that, but I've been saying it now for years. Jesus wants to invade your space because so often we allow the devil with his pressures, with his put downs, with his condemnation, his guilt, his shame. We allow that to invade our space and take our peace. We allow that chaos to overcome us in so many times and circumstances in our lives. And some of our listeners right now are going, yeah, I've had that kind of a day. Chaotic, crazy.
That's right.
You know,
out of control.
Right. lose control of your emotions, say things you wish you hadn't said, maybe blow up to your spouse or somebody. And Jesus said, I came to give you peace, and I came to give you life and to give it abundantly. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's the right. devil, Carol. It's what he's always trying to do.
When they hear the word that God is going to come up and bless us abundantly.
Right.
You know, some people, I think, really begin to think, hey, man, I've hit the lottery today. He's going to bless me abundantly.
Yeah, their mind first goes to finances, and
That's
it's
right.
not always that way,
see,
is it?
He blesses us abundantly by peace, number one,
right.
love,
yeah.
and always caring for us, always looking out for us, always providing what we need, sometimes the things we want.
Right.
But always what we need.
Yeah, my God shall supply all our needs according
right.
to his riches and glory
according
in Christ Jesus.
According to his riches and glory. You know, and when we realize that abundant living means to me that I am saying to God, I will pull my part of the load and I will go wherever you tell me, whatever you tell me to do, I will do it because I know that for at the end of that road, there's something waiting for me, a new friend, a new discovery of something that I did not know, a new book that's been presented, a commentary or a book that I would really enjoy and enhance me, the opportunity to be involved in change in somebody's life. How many times over the years that you pastored and been with your daddy at the crossroads in little Guatemalan villages
mm-hmm.
have you witnessed the transformation in people from non-believers
Absolutely.
To believers?
Well, and Carol, that is exactly what we're talking about here with Thomas. Thomas found himself in that room the next week, and he was ready for his miracle. And we are going to talk more about that in this next segment, but I want to say a couple things. Carol, hang on with us here through the top of the hour and things we have to do, the housekeeping things, and then we'll connect with you again in a little while, okay? So don't go anywhere. And for those of you that are new to this program, Living the Good Life, we are Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are in our 10th year in Clearwater, Florida. We are a group of people that love the Lord with all our hearts. Our slogan is, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And that's what we see today on today's program with Thomas. And then in a little while, we're going to talk about Peter. Healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's what it's all about. If you want to know more about the ministry at Beacon of Hope, you can check out our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Some people want to know how you can actually talk to us, the staff, or me personally. My email address is very simple, and you can write it down, and you can send me an email, and I will respond to you. It is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Another part of this ministry that is huge and has been growing and growing over the last 3 years is our prayer ministry, and that is headed up by Alice. And a lot of you have heard Alice on the air. She's part of our radio team. You'll get to know her more in the days ahead. And she has just recently, she and Deb have moved back here yesterday from Houston. And so they are going to be active in our Clearwater Church here, in the ministry here, in a dynamic way more than ever before. They were here a few years back, and we're gone for 2 years and now back. So we're very excited about that. Welcome home, Alice and Deb. Alice is our prayer general, and she does a great job of it. And we invite you to send any request from any person. We had one this week from Kansas City, or maybe that was last week, the week before from Australia, plus all the others requests that come in locally and from people that we all know. Family and friends, tell them they can give them the email address, tell them they can use this anytime, 24/7, 365. And the address is prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Send your request in. Alice or one of her team members will send it out to the entire prayer team with a prayer already written in the email so that everybody can be in agreement for that need. We are just seeing tremendous answers to prayer on a daily basis. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. We invite you to use that prayer ministry of Beacon of Hope. Whether you are a member of Beacon of Hope or just a listener, it doesn't make any difference. We invite you to use use our prayer ministry because we want to see God move mightily in your life. So no matter where you are, it doesn't matter. You can be a part of Beacon of Hope. So we're going to do some station identification, and then we've got something very special right after station identification, and then Carol's coming back in a few minutes. So listen up.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
We have new evidence that dogs can sense cancer, even cancer hidden deep inside the body. And the clues could be the breath of the owner tipping them off. Here's Steve Osensami.
Carol Witcher knows it sounds crazy, but says it was her dog that discovered the cancer in her breast.
And when he sniffed me, he kind of turned back and really pushed into my right breast real hard. And he starts sniffing. And I thought, this is not good.
Floyd Henry is certainly no doctor with a degree, but this 8-year-old boxer kept at it for 4 days until Carol got herself checked.
Her type of cancer was rather large in her breast.
Dr. Cheryl Gabram says it was stage 3 and required surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation.
Do you believe that her dog saved her life?
I absolutely believe that the dog saved Ms. Witcher's life.
Dr. Gabram firmly believes this because cancer causes the body to release chemicals in our sweat, urine, and breath. Hundreds of them that dogs can smell but people can't. The doctor and her team are now working on this test that could detect cancer from a simple deep breath.
Our model predicted in over 75% of the time correctly which patients did have breast cancer and which ones did not have breast cancer.
The breath holds all kinds of clues and details doctors are now just learning to decipher. I took the test.
Keep going, empty those lungs. Don't
and
stop.
They were able to tell that I drink tea, that I use a household cleaning product with artificial lemon, and that I had recently been exposed to gasoline. That morning, I filled up my tank. It doesn't stop there. Meet Daisy. She's one of several dogs in England trained to sniff out yet another cancer. One of these urine samples is from a patient with cancer of the bladder.
Good girl.
Out of 54 tries, the dogs picked the cancers correctly 22 times, and the training is just getting started.
Good boy.
Carol Witcher has now been cancer-free for more than 2 years. And she believes Floyd Henry knows it.
Don't get Steve dirty.
Well, that's okay.
I had rescued him when he was about 7 months old, and he in turn rescued me.
Steve Osensami, ABC News, Covington, Georgia.
All right, Carol, does that sound familiar, girl?
Yes, it does. It really does. And, you know,
that was last Monday night.
For that, but for me, the whole situation is that I give glory to God, number one.
Right, absolutely.
I give glory to every person that has prayed for me and for my little outfit here, my little family.
Yes.
And I know that Beacon of Hope, the ministry team, for those of you listening in that don't think Beacon of Hope people pray for you, I'm testimony alive today that they do.
Absolutely, we do. And Carol, this was this past Monday night on Diane Sawyer World News, ABC World News with Diane Sawyer. And can they go see the clip of this on
yes,
some?
Yes, they can. They can go to an abcnews.com and then put, or just put my name and Floyd Henry's, or they can do this. They can, Floyd Henry now has his own website.
Oh,
and
no
it's
way.
It's called FloydHenry.com.
FloydHenry.com? You're
yes,
kidding.
And all of the places that Floyd Henry and I have been on or spoken to or whatever are listed there, and they can go one by one. The websites, wonderful webmaster Maxine has put all of the websites up that Floyd Henry and I have appeared.
Wow.
And you can go there and simply look at them one by one and understand that, you know, for me, it's a God-based thing.
Yes, it is.
You know,
yes.
My spirituality, I want people to totally understand that nothing we go through in life do we go through by ourselves if we
right.
have an associated relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
It's all about putting ourselves into his arms and falling back into his peace. And out of what could have been a chaotic situation, a peace came over me that I call my grace period. I lived in grace for a year when the whole time I was going through it. And It's an amazing, amazing emotion with God to do that.
Praise God. Woo. So go and catch that clip that was on the TV last Monday night. Carol, again, this is how God is doing this, as he always does on these shows. Today, Jackie Velasquez, I Will Rest in You. Listen to this song. It's perfect for what we just said.
Lord, I'm in the dark. Seems to me the line is dead. Mind is playing games again. You're right where you have always been. Take me back to you, the place that I once knew. As a little child, constantly the eyes of God watched over me. Oh, I want to be in the place that I once knew.
Song. Never heard that. That is great, and that's what we have to do, is learn to rest in Him. We are today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, once again exposing some of the tactics of the enemy, the devil that comes at us and tries to steal our peace. It's all about walking in that peace. I am Pastor Marcia McAllister here with Carol Witcher up in Covington, Georgia. Carol, I want to talk about John 21, about Peter, because Peter denied Jesus three times around the fire the night that Jesus had been hauled off to the place of inquisition, where they were accusing him and trying to find a reason why it would be okay to crucify him. And that was actually on Tuesday night, before he went to the cross on Wednesday morning, and then actually died Wednesday afternoon at 3:00. And we talked about that last week on the show. For some of you that are thinking, wait a minute, I thought he died on Friday. No, go listen to last week's show on our website and you'll understand all that timing that was accurate. That is when this happened. And that night, on Tuesday night, Peter was in the courtyard. He had gotten in with one of the other disciples. We think it was John. He had gotten into the courtyard and he was able to see all this that was going on, or at least part of it. And three different separate occasions, people said to Peter, "Oh, you're one of his disciples, aren't you?" And on three occasions, Peter said, "No, not me. I don't even know the guy." Now, that is huge, denying of your Lord and Savior. That is huge. In fact, Jesus had told him the night before at the Last Supper that he was going to deny him three times before morning, before the rooster crowed. And Peter said, no way, God, I'll never, no way, Jesus, not God, but no way, Jesus, I'll never deny you. No way, not me. And then he found himself in the situation where he did deny Jesus.
He was a great betrayer, wasn't he?
Wasn't he? And you know, you had to know that the turmoil on the inside of his mind and heart when that was going on, you know, had to be horrible. And the feeling of condemnation and guilt and shame, Carol, that he had denied his Lord Jesus, you know?
Yes. Boy, would that just scare the skin off your body?
Woo! I mean, you know, he had to be thinking, oh my gosh, that's what Jesus told me last night at the meal.
Yeah.
You know, that I was going to do this, and I told him I wouldn't do it, and I'm doing it.
And don't you know that he wanted to look at his lips in a mirror and go, what are you saying? I didn't
right.
mean for that
mm-hmm.
to come out. Why are you saying this? You know, it's just like we stand up in front of a friend that's you've told a secret or something that you deemed to be important to, and you said, don't tell anybody, whether it's a good thing or an in-between or a bad thing.
Right.
And the next thing you know, the words are coming back to you from somebody else. It's
right.
like, hello, you just betrayed me.
Right,
and that's what, you
that's
know,
what Peter did.
He had to be feeling that.
Oh, and he had to be feeling such guilt and shame. When we pick up John 21, Peter and six other disciples have gone fishing. And they went out and they fished all night. And we won't read it word for word just for the interest of time, but you can read John 21 on your own and see all this. They went out and they went fishing, and it says they caught nothing that night, not a thing. And when the sun came up, there was Jesus standing on the beach.
But would that scare you?
Woo! Well, they didn't recognize him.
Gone.
But at that point, it says that they didn't recognize him. Okay,
no,
they knew somebody
they
was standing there.
But then, you know, there's this guy that appears from nowhere, and he's on the shore when you've been out in the, you're out in the water. Of course, they didn't have to go halfway to Ethiopia to get to the water.
Right.
And you look up, and there's a man that appeared from nowhere standing there.
And he asked them, good morning, did you catch anything for breakfast? And they said, no.
No.
You know, the point I want to make right there, Carol, is that we need to tell God the way it is in our lives. He expects you to be honest. He doesn't expect you to pray some fancy prayer. He wants you to talk to him and say, here's what I'm going through. Here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I need to talk to you about, Lord. And that's what they did right here. They said, no, we didn't catch anything. He said, all right, here's what I want you to do. Throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens. Now, I find this fascinating because at this point, they don't really recognize or realize that it's Jesus, but they do it anyway, you know? it's like this is a suggestion that's come out of nowhere. All right, we're going to do it. So they go out there and they throw the net off the right side. The right in the Word of God is always talking about our authority, when we take our authority. And they did what he said, and I'm in about verse 6. All of a sudden, there were so many fish that they weren't strong enough to pull it in. And then John, who wrote the book of John, said to Peter, oh my, it's the Master.
Yes.
It's Jesus. You know, I think they saw the miracle right then. They saw all these fish in their net, and they hadn't had any all night long. And suddenly they saw Jesus in their circumstances. Isn't that cool?
It's very amazing. Mm. And speaking of Jesus in the circumstances, a prayer just came in on the prayers at Beacon of Hope.
Okay.
And it says, I just got a call from my sister. My father is in the hospital with a severe urinary tract infection. The doctor did a CAT scan, and he may have a tumor on his bladder. He has already had his prostate removed because of cancer. He is also down to 154 pounds, and his blood sugar is very high. Please pray with me that he be healed of this. Pastor Jim.
Oh, Pastor Jim's dad. Okay.
So, people, here's a perfect example.
Right.
The unity of the body of Christ working
Amen.
Together.
Yes, absolutely.
Pastor Marcia just told us to call or to write prayers at Beacon of Hope or pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. Our own pastor, associate pastor, Pastor Jim, has sent this.
Right.
And he's requesting that those in the body of believers will pray a prayer for his father.
We do that right now. By faith, we just reach out to Pastor Jim's dad. Lord, we just, the request has come in, and we stop what we're doing right now, and we lift up this dear man to you. And Lord, we just declare right now in the name of Jesus that healing flow in his body this very moment as we speak these words. We declare the name of Jesus over him. We
Amen.
Declare the blood of the Lamb over him, and we declare your healing power, that Jesus, you already took our sins and our sicknesses in your body on the cross, and that you also took all of this that Pastor Jim's dad is suffering from right now. And in the name of Jesus, we pronounce and declare healing over his dad right this moment in Jesus' name.
And peace
Amen.
To Pastor Jim and to his sister and to the rest of
yes,
the family.
Yes.
This is what it's all about, people.
Right.
It's bringing the peace of God that is overwhelming.
Amen.
In a chaotic situation, a situation where we feel that we don't have the capacity physically to make changes ourselves, we call on the blessed name of Jesus the Christ to intercede and work on our behalf with his Father. So we come to you now, and knowing that you will do this, that you are doing it now, that you're taking everything is taking place. Peace is overflowing. For those of the two of us that are talking about peace today and what an overwhelming warmth it is and how it makes your life better, this is a classic example.
Amen.
A family in need, and they've written out and reached out for help through the prayer line at Beacon of Hope Ministries, and peace is on its way.
Amen. We agree with that right now. Thank you, Carol, for declaring that right now. Praise God. Okay.
I want to tell you something. If you're out there listening to the radio, this is what happens when the two of us are on the radio together. We never know what Jesus is going to do.
No, we don't.
The Holy Spirit is leading us to do. We only follow.
That's exactly right. Praise God. Okay, back to Peter.
It doesn't get much more wild than that.
It doesn't, does it? Okay, so they get all these fish in the net. And there are so many. And suddenly Peter realizes this is Jesus. And he just throws himself into the sea. And the sea is always a metaphor for humanity. And Peter does not realize that what he's done by doing that is showing God that he is willing to be that ambassador that God's called him to be. And he throws himself into the sea to get up there to Jesus. And so Jesus says, come here, bring me the fish you caught. And Simon Peter and the other guys pull the net to shore, and there were 153 big fish. Now, it is very significant that this number is in this story. The number one always talks about God, his sovereignty, his lordship over us. The number five in the Word of God is always talking about God's grace. Every place you see it. And the number three is talking about the fullness, the completeness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you've got 153 working here. Now, it's interesting to note, and I didn't do this calculation, but a scholar did. There are 153, exactly the same number as the fish, 153 recorded individual ministries that Jesus performed on this earth. Now, John says that he did so many more things that they didn't write down, that there wouldn't be enough words or books to contain everything he did. But the ones that are written, it is interesting to note there's 153 recorded ministries of Jesus and 153 big fish that were caught that morning. Cool. Isn't that cool?
That's more than cool.
It really is.
It's very symbolic. The Bible is full of symbolism.
Isn't it? Oh, my heavens.
And
so
I mean,
much.
All of the different ways. It's a wonderful, wonderful. It's like laying out this exciting puzzle that you've heard about and heard about. And it's got
true.
All these many pieces.
Woo.
And you don't know really what it's going to look like when it's finished. And you start putting it all together. And then you look, and all of a sudden, there's the face of Jesus smiling at you.
Oh, amen. And that's what's happening right here by this fish story. Now, we are setting up for the restoration of Peter, which we're going to talk about as soon as we play this song by Hillsong, Chosen is Mine.
Here I am, so close to you. Know my voice, I'll never leave you. For I have loved you since before sands of time were made. I love you still, and always will. You're chosen as mine. My Father wants to bless you now. Receive from Him all that you'll ever need. Come spend eternity with me. My heart is full of love for you. I love you still, and always will. You're chosen as mine. Cries in the desert, my child, I hear them. Tears in the valley, my lovely, I count them. You're so precious, you were on my mind. As I
God, what a great song. Woo! As by Hillsong. And we're talking about Peter now on Living the Good Life today. Peter had denied Jesus three times. I find it very interesting, Carol, that Peter had to be restored three times. And we find this story starting in verse 15 of John 21. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And I mean, Jesus put Peter really on the spot here to discern where Peter was coming from. The Greek word that Jesus used here when he said, "Do you love me?" is agape, agapeo, actually, in the Greek. And it means this: do you ardently, supremely, perfectly love me? In other words, do you really, really love me, Peter? Now, Peter answers, "Yes, Master, you know I love you." But interestingly enough, Peter uses a different Greek word here, and he uses the word philio, which comes from our word Philadelphia, or brotherly love. Because Peter answers him, "You know I philio you," which means I'm fond of you. I've got a friendship love for you. Or something like, "You know, Jesus, I love you. I think you're great. You're my buddy. I'm fond of you." But Peter does not say, yes, Jesus, I ardently, supremely, perfectly, really, really love you. So Jesus says, feed my lambs. I love this because Jesus accepts Peter right where he is, even though Peter did not respond, yes, I agape you. Instead, he says, yes, I filio you. I've got a friendship love for you. I'm fond of you. And then Jesus still says, I can use you. He uses the Greek word bosko there, which means take care of and tend my flock. And then Jesus asks him the second time, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? He uses that same Greek word again. He goes back to that real intense word, agapeo. And it means, again, ardently, supremely, perfectly. Peter, do you really, really love me ardently with all your soul, your might, your body, your mind? Do you supremely love me, Peter? And Peter comes back and says again, I filio you, which means I've got a friendship love for you. I'm fond of you. Now Jesus says, I can use you. You're being totally honest with me. And Jesus says to Peter there, I want you to shepherd my flock. I want you to be a pastor of my people. I love that because Jesus uses us right where we are. We don't have to be perfect to be used of God. Then there is a third time, willing, right? A third time, which is this three times. Peter denied Jesus three times. He had to be restored three times. And by the way, Jesus was up there on the beach cooking fish and bread over a campfire, the very thing where Peter was when he denied Jesus all three times. Jesus restored Peter at a campfire, which I think is really cool. The third time now, though, Jesus changes the Greek word. And he says, Simon, son of John, do you filio me? He got down on Peter's level. Do you have a friendship love for me? He went away from the, do you supremely love me? And he went to Peter's level and he said, do you have a friendship love for me? Are you fond of me? And Peter says, oh, yes. Yes, I filio you. And then Jesus reminds him one more time, feed my sheep. And I love the fact that Jesus does not condemn Peter for the denials, the betrayals. He does not preach him a sermon on how he messed up. He does not throw condemnation on him. He does not throw guilt or shame on Peter, but instead he gives Peter three opportunities to be restored into the right place with the Lord. And Peter is totally honest with Jesus and says, I've got that friendship love. I've got that bond with you, but I don't think I supremely love you yet. But we know as Peter later on in his life became such an incredible missionary, pastor, and all of that. And Peter was actually crucified upside down because he said, I cannot be crucified the same way that Jesus was. What does this?
He was martyred.
Oh, isn't this powerful, Carol, the way Jesus restored Peter? What are your thoughts here?
I think it's really very time important that he restored him in the manner that he did.
Yes.
Because for each denial, he forgave him.
He did.
And asked him, you know, for the first denial, he forgave him.
Right.
For the second denial, Jesus forgave him
again.
Exactly. And for the third denial, he forgave him again.
Right.
And perhaps that's a lesson to all of us, that when someone offends you greatly, maybe not even greatly, that you should forgive them.
Amen.
Till such time as your heart feels that you have done what you should do. And then it becomes to the other person's standard of, do I accept this forgiveness? Do I accept this forgiveness? Do I accept this forgiveness?
Right. Exactly.
And we have to do that in order to continue to grow and to do and to hear the word of God in our lives and take it out into the world and to keep unity in our lives with our fellow Christians, with our church members, within our own family. And unity of the spirit and unity in life is what Jesus is all about.
Oh, absolutely. And really, that's what Jesus was doing here. You're right. He was bringing back the unity of that group and not allowing Peter to feel sorry for himself or to walk around in shame or guilt.
Or to be ostracized.
Or to be ostracized because Peter had denied him.
Out. I mean, the other 11 men could have said, excuse me.
Right.
Well, by that time it was 10 probably.
10 because
excuse
of Judas,
me.
Yeah.
You did not do what you were supposed to do. You did not uphold the unity of this companionship, this covenant of men here.
Right.
Or people.
But instead, Jesus, instead of allowing that kind of... putting him out, ostracizing or that kind of thing, and letting Peter sit and be full of shame and condemnation, Jesus says, wait a minute, I'm restoring you, honey, and
that's
I'm
right.
accepting you right where you are.
And guess what he did, people? If you didn't hear it, he put him in charge of feeding the sheep.
Amen.
See, when I read this, being an old
farmer, that's
I look
right.
at it, you know, take care of, feed my lambs.
Feed my lambs.
Some rely, you know, they're babies, they're little,
right.
and they rely on nourishment from their mama, which if you're going to feed a baby Christian, you can't throw all the philosophical reasons for this, that, or the other. You've got to start at the very beginning.
That's right.
And feed them gently as they grow, and then feed my sheep. Your sheep are older.
Right.
They have matured more. They are now going out into the world to make more little lambs.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
exactly
then
right.
I think, you know, by seeing that, it's God saying, when you approach someone that perhaps does not understand what Christ is all about, speak to them as if they were sheep, little lambs, that
that's
they're
good.
Tender
yeah.
and young, and their ears can be overwhelmed by things that they don't have an understanding for at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But as they begin to mature and grow into full sheep, we should be expecting them then to step out.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what the church should be all about, is taking the word of God out into the streets.
Amen. Amen.
What's the point in having God in a box?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Four walls make a box, people.
Right. Well, that's true. And this was a huge step to recount this, to tell this in John 21 of the way that Jesus chose to restore Peter, Carol. I think this is just showing the absolute heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and showing that he does accept us right where we are, just like Peter. You know, on the third time when Jesus says, do you love me? He uses that same filial love. Are you fond of me? Do you have a friendship? Because he's basically saying, I'm going to build on that. I'm going to build on what you do feel for me. And we're going to see that develop into this ardent, this huge love that Peter developed and allowed Peter to say, I cannot be crucified the same way Jesus was. I'm going upside down.
Because he's not putting himself on the equal level as Jesus.
Right. No.
He is saying, I think, to us that I can never reach him as to standing shoulder to shoulder with him in martyrdom.
Right.
I am not the Holy One.
Right.
And I am so deeply in love with him that I cannot forge myself to be in the same image.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I love the honesty of Peter here, Carol. I really do. You know how some people want to hide their true feelings from God? You know, they want to pretend to be something that they really aren't, or they want to go to church and put on a real religious attitude and a real uppity type of, well, I've got my, you know, I'm all together here. I've got all of my stuff together. And yet what Jesus sees through all of that and says, be honest with me, be transparent, show me.
You know, those of us that have come into a work with Christ, we weren't born into it. I can't think of anybody that was born with a purple coat and the word deity hung around their neck.
Right, absolutely not. Right.
You know, we had to all walk our walk.
Right.
We all had to be taught. We had to first seek, and then as we began to seek and we began to explore and listen and learn and be open and receptive,
right.
we were able at that point to be able to say, God, use me.
Right.
Forgive me for what I did. and forgive me for what I did to myself. Forgive me how I've destroyed my body. Forgive me how I've destroyed my mind. Restore me, Lord, to a unity with you that you can truly use me to bring other candles to light off my candle.
Amen. Amen. And really, that's what Peter did here. Peter allowed himself to be restored. I mean, Peter threw himself into the water to run to Jesus, you know, when he recognized, yes, hey, that's Jesus. And he recognized the great big haul of fish that had just happened. Peter didn't just stand back as a skeptic and say, oh, well, I don't know if that's really Jesus or not. Wait a minute. I don't know about that. Instead, he chose to believe, Carol. He chose to believe, and then he plunged himself into the water to get there quicker to be near Jesus. Isn't that cool?
It's really, really cool, because at that point, I think he realized there was redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Redemption for him, because through all of the turmoil and the chaos that he went through with the crucifixion of Christ, don't you know, it played heavy on his mind, his heart. And when he began to realize what he had lost in a friend.
Right.
And then lost in a Savior.
Right.
And then to see him standing in front of him again, he could not wait to get there, fall at his feet and say, forgive me.
Right.
And all was forgiven.
Oh, it's
Jesus recognized through his questioning of Peter, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
Through all of his questioning, he realizes that Peter's heart is now for the kingdom.
Absolutely. I really believe that. He saw that. And even with Peter saying, I'm not there yet to honestly tell you that I agape you, that I ardently, supremely, and perfectly love you. But I'm telling you, I love you, and I'm on my way to be sold out to you. And Carol, I think so often people don't realize that God really does accept us exactly where we are, and he gives
us
time to grow.
He does. You know, I always say that God doesn't call the qualified, it qualifies the called.
There you go.
You know, I mean, when I was living in Florida and I was getting ready to retire from public school teaching, I had my 5-year plan worked out in my mind. That
your 5-year plan,
I would be retired and I would be perfectly willing at that time to work for God. But you see, I was saying, without me realizing it, I was saying, it was, don't bother me right now with this teaching stuff and doing stuff for you, because I have to complete my plan and then I'll fall into yours.
Oh boy, that's good stuff.
But you see, God is very good in the fact that you're saying he knows us. He knew I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel ready because I had an obligation, a contract, if you will, that was signed that I had to complete.
Right, exactly.
Never realizing that my contract with him has no expiration date.
Carol, you have no clue about this because you were not at our service this morning, but this is very interesting what you just said, because at the end of the service, as I was finishing up the sermon, I began to call people up who felt that they were ready to sign a contract, not physically. There were no papers passed out. There were no pens passed out. This was a contract or agreement, if you will, with God. And I called up anybody that felt that they were ready to come and stand on this blue line of tape that we put up front in front of the altar and make that commitment, that contract, if you will, with God that said, God, take me just where I am. Use me. I surrender to you. I want to be all you want me to be. Carol, every single person that was in the service today at Beacon of Hope made their way up front, every single person. And
okay,
there was a powerful time of people, you know, really saying, okay, I'm in it for the long haul. I seek your will in my life. I choose obedience to God. And it was, and then I began to minister to them, and there was prophecy and words and things that happened. It was just a powerful time. But it started with people's willingness, like Peter here, who threw himself in the sea. It started with people's willingness to say, okay, take me right where I am, God. I love you. I may not love you supremely or ardently yet, but I will. I just take me and use me right where I am.
Well, if we don't do those things, if we don't open ourselves up, why are we in a relationship with Christ if we are not willing to get on the front line of bringing other people to his peace, his
Amen.
Joy, his mercy, his love, his grace?
Amen.
Or why are we hanging on to it and hiding it under a bushel basket?
Right. Exactly. So it's time to give it away.
Mine, I'm going to make it shine.
Yes.
You know, we can't hide it under a bushel basket. When the love of Jesus Christ is in your heart, it is manifested in the countenance on your face.
Exactly. And what are we going to do with that?
Look at the world in a more tender way. You feel the compassion for people. You don't feel the apathy. You feel compassion. You feel love. You feel forgiving. You feel understanding. You want to reach out and touch people.
Amen.
And I just pray that everybody that is listening to this, wherever they are, certainly has compassion for the people in the 13 states that were devastated by
right.
these tornadoes that went through last
yes,
week.
Exactly.
For the people in Japan who are going through
yes,
all kinds
amen.
Of turmoil
amen.
Once again, over and over for that country, and for every person around the world who is seeking a relationship with Christ, regardless of the country and their circumstances, that we can be a beacon of hope
Amen.
For them.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. And when we take a step to come up and, like today at the commitment service at Beacon of Hope, and stand there on that line and say, okay, God, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. I choose to obey you. I choose to follow you. I choose to read my Bible. I choose to commit myself to following the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life on a daily basis. I choose to be your vessel. I choose to allow you to use me in people's lives. I mean, that is what we're saying when we make commitment like this, which is what Peter was making here, which is also what Thomas was doing, how Jesus restored both of these guys who had really fallen down in their faith, but yet were restored, and Jesus did not beat them up with condemnation and guilt and shame.
No, we're very good as human beings about doing that.
Yeah, we do that, don't we? Yeah.
You know, we do that, especially in certain communities of humanity. We're very good at beating ourselves up.
Right.
And thinking we're not worthy. You know, you don't have to have 900 degrees behind your name. You just have to have a willing heart and a spirit
Amen.
That is connected to the spirit of Jesus leading you through life.
Mm-hmm.
He is there for you. He tells us that he is. He walks with us. He talks with us. He listens to us. I often tell people who are talking with me and saying, please help me. I'm lost. I've strayed. I've been stolen away by the world. And they'll say, Jesus doesn't love me. He doesn't even know who I am. And one of the things I like to do is to put my hand on theirs or on their knee and say, please don't wiggle too much. And they're like, why? What do you mean? What's wrong? And I said, because Jesus is sitting beside you and you bumped him two or three times already.
He's right there. He hasn't left you.
Right
yeah.
there. And isn't that a comforting feeling
mm-hmm.
when you're going through any kind of a catastrophe or even something very good
right.
and you want to share the good news? Tell him the good news and say, God, I might not be worthy in the sight of man to carry your name and to carry your word, but I thank you for every single time you use me.
Amen. And we are worthy.
Send me. You know, how
exactly.
many times have you been in a classroom when a teacher is teaching, regardless of the age of the students or regardless of the subject of the curriculum, and you've got this one eager kid whose hand is just flapping in the breeze, and now they're climbing out of their seat, and they're going in there, oh, please. That's
right.
the one that you want to send.
Right. And that's exactly what Jesus knew here about Peter. That's one reason I love this story so much in John 21. Peter really became the head of the church. You know, he really became that one that was out there and ministering. He gave his life for the ministry of Jesus. And Peter was the one who preached that big sermon on the day of Pentecost that got 3,000 people saved in one in one sermon. 3,000 people were saved that day. This is the same Peter that had denied Jesus three times, who Jesus had to restore. And Jesus saw ahead and knew that he was going to use Peter mightily. Isn't that cool, Carol? This is the one. This is the one.
It's amazing when you become active in a ministry, regardless of where it is,
right,
and you become very filled with the Spirit, and you can't wait to get there, you can't wait to do your job at the church,
right,
from cleaning the toilets to the one who polishes all the silver, whatever your role in the church,
exactly,
you are vitally important to that ministry.
Amen.
It is vitally important that you be there, because only you have been ordained to do that.
That's right.
There may be five of you cleaning silver, but each one of you has been chosen to do that. It's what your heart desires. It's one of your spiritual gifts to take care of God's house.
Right.
When we open our hearts and say, Lord, show me what my spiritual gifts are. How can I be a part of bringing the world to you, just like Simon Peter did?
Right.
You know, he had to walk his walk and understand his importance in the life of Christ,
yep,
and what it meant to all the sheep to come, all the little lambs that would be born each year.
Right, exactly.
And all of the big sheep that would be out working in the fields and doing things. When you come to a realization that you can make a difference.
Amen.
Even in the tiniest way. It makes your heart fill to overjoy, to want to run free and scream, Jesus is alive, he's in my heart, he's in my soul, and I know he's with me.
Amen.
In all of the good and the bad and the indifferent.
Ooh.
And why would he pick a little lowly me?
But he is, and he's changing us. Listen to this song by Terry McCallum. Carol, I happen to know it's one of your favorites. Come Holy Spirit, move in
oh,
your
yeah.
people. Praise God. Come, Holy Spirit. Bill, we're going to play that again in a minute, all right? Carol, give us your final words here before we wrap all this up today on Living the Good Life.
Well, I think possibly that some of my final words today would be that the fragrance that follows Jesus and the fragrance that is Jesus, once you pour it out to other people, it splashes right back on you.
Ooh, glory.
So all of his love, his glory, his mercy, his forgiveness,
yes,
his grace, once you hand those off to other people in his name, it comes right back and splashes right back on you again so that you are refilled with it and you can once again pour out more to other people.
Praise God. And we just, the whole thing we're talking about today, Carol, is that very thing, is giving it away, and it's receiving the restoration and the blessing that God has for us, even when we've messed up, even when we have failed the Lord, even when we have sin in our life or something horrible has happened and we've been a part of it. And God is saying, let me restore you, honey. Let me love you. Let me just take all that pain away, like he did with Thomas and like he did with Peter. Let me take that pain away and let me set you free from the bondage of unworthiness and guilt and shame. And we have really presented a case for that today, Carol. The restoration of the Holy Spirit in our lives, even when we have failed God, he still loves us and accepts us right where we are.
Yes, indeed. And final word from me is never, ever, ever let anyone else define you but Jesus Christ.
Oh, amen. Carol, you're a blessing. God bless you. And we just look forward to talking to you again real soon. You're on the radio show a lot, and we thank God for your contribution. And people can check out your story on ABC News and then go to FloydHenry.com, right?
Yes, and if they want to email Floyd, because I'm acting as his voice these days.
Oh, well, that's good.
He has the website where you can email him as
okay.
well.
Cool.
And it's Bark, B-A-R-K, at FloydHenry.com.
This is cool.
Love to hear from all of his friends and neighbors. And if they have a wonderful story about their relationship with God, he would love to read and hear
that. Is
about
too
that.
Cool. I'll have to have my doggies, Bailey and Zoe, send Floyd Henry an email.
Oh,
cool.
He would love it. He just loves people, and he, you know, he's involved in it. When one of the things that you did not hear on any of the station, but it was asked of me that day, was what does Floyd Henry mean to you? And I stopped and looked at Steve very carefully, and I said, I would give my life for him.
Mm.
And I think that's what Simon Peter heard from Jesus.
Yeah.
I gave my life for you.
Right. Absolutely. Praise God. Thank you, Carol, for being on. Y'all stay with me a minute as we do the wrap up. Thanks, Carol. God bless
you're
you.
You're more than welcome. God bless.
Okay. Bill, let's start that song again, Come Holy Spirit, and just kind of keep it down a little bit, if you will. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you for all of our listening audience. Lord, we thank you for every single one that listens to this show live and those that catch it on our website. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach your word in a world that needs you, Jesus. We need you so very much. We need the word of God. We need your encouragement. We need to remind ourselves of your great love for us. And Lord, we thank you that you loved Thomas and Peter so much that you did exactly what they needed in order to receive the restoration and healing in their lives that they needed at that time in history. And Lord, we know you're in the restoration and healing business now. And so, Lord, for those of our audience that are hurting emotionally right now, for those of our audience that are beat up, that have just received all kinds of awful things in their life, abusive things that have happened to them, shame and guilt, and all of that package that the devil throws our way. Lord, let this be the day that they drive a stake in the ground and say, no more am I going to live under all of that oppression, but I am choosing this day to serve the Lord with all my heart. And Lord, let members of our listening audience run to God, run to Jesus right now and say, restore me into all the blessing and all the favor that you have for me. So come, Holy Spirit, do a fresh work in each of us. Come, Holy Spirit, do a fresh work. Bill, turn it up a minute, and then I'm going to come back on in just a moment.
Jesus.
Bill, just start it over and make it a little quieter. We're so glad that each of you listen to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. You can become a financial partner with us. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can actually give an offering, a donation right there on PayPal, which is totally safe on our website. Also, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, I started a new series last Wednesday night entitled Where Do You Belong? And it's a study of the gifts, the motivational gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ministry gifts, finding out what God wants to do in your life and how He wants to use you in this time in history. What does He have for you? What is His plan for your life, and how can you fulfill that? And that series is Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock at Beacon of Hope, 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. We always have prayer meeting before that, about 6:15, and you are welcome to join us. We would love to have you with us. So that's Wednesday nights. Sunday morning is at 11 at the same location, and then every Sunday we are on this radio station from 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock Tampa time, bringing you the Word of God, bringing you great music and teaching and chat that will help you. We just pray for you this week that you will draw close to God. God's Word says in James chapter 4, draw close to God and He will draw close to you. This is James 4, 7 and 8. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist those feelings of unworthiness and shame and guilt. Tell the devil you're not taking it. You don't need it. You're going to walk in the peace of God and the joy that God has for your life. Tell God that you're ready right now, ready, willing, and able to walk in the peace that He has provided for you, and that you are not going to allow the devil to just stomp all over you. That's been what we've been talking about today on Living the Good Life. You can hear this show again tomorrow afternoon. By Monday afternoon, we usually have the show of that Sunday on our website, and they stay on there. So you can go to beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can listen to these old shows and listen to them again. Tell a friend to go to beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to our radio page and just click, and you can listen to the entire show. God bless you. Have a great week. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, join us Sunday morning at 11 for our service. God bless you. It's been a great time in the Word with you today. Carol has been my guest and part of our radio team, and we've enjoyed having her on today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Have a great week, guys. If we can help you, write our prayer line, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. God will answer your prayer. He always does. God bless you. Have a great week. See you next week.
He will lead you safely to His side. There's no need for you.
far.